views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill, we had no say. You don't serve us, you serve LA. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State.
Oh, yeah.
We're back.
We're back. Terry Raposa here with Wynn Carpenter,
good
Janet
morning.
Chandler, the First Lady of Jefferson.
Mama Che.
Yes. We also are here with Lori Jones, the real head of her family, and her protege. Not really. Patrick Jones, who I want to thank you personally very quickly for everything you've done over the last many, many years, fighting for liberty, being a fiscal conservative, and doing it under pressure that Lori probably only knows. And, you know, we know a lot of it. And I want to thank you for that. But anyway, getting back to our
Amen.
Subject matter here, this has been very enlightening. And so we were talking about the, I didn't even know where to begin with this other than let you continue. And if you have a question or a comment, 605-4567, 605-4567, area code 530. We do have a caller on the line, so we'll get to that right away. Go ahead. Mary, how are you?
Good morning, State of Jefferson. And Patrick, I do have a couple questions for Pat.
Sure.
Do you think that we will be able to get Kellstrom in as chair, and how will that play out? And number two is, in listening to some of the Patriots going down for their meaningful observation of transparency at the elections office, I was just wondering why or if we could get in some sort of camera observation above each station where the people that are working with the ballots have to be over these cameras, where we could zoom in on them and have big screen TVs where we can watch their hands at work, hands at play. And yeah, I understand that the elections office, we paid for a remodel, and why that wasn't part of the remodel. I don't understand how we're not getting serious transparency out of Tom Toler, who was Kevin Cry's pick. And I don't, listening to you talk about Tom Toler, I'm just very concerned that the transparency is very lacking and
Sleight of hand
is at work here.
So those are very two very good questions. I'll take the first one first. Will Supervisor Kellstrom be chair? Well, first, he's too tall to be chair. we have a height limit, so that's going to knock him right out. The reality is that's going to be picked by the – and I am Supervisor Patrick Jones, 4th District, I got two more months in office to do as many good things as we can and to discuss and talk about things. And right now the supervisor race in District 3 will determine who's going to be the next chair. So my prediction is that if Corky Harmon is selected, Supervisor Kellstrom will probably be Chair Kellstrom, or it will remain with Chair Cry in one of those two positions. They have now at that point the most senior leadership. If Supervisor Rickert is reselected, then she most likely will be chair. And so that's
so
how
you're not participating in that.
I won't be there. So my last day is December 31st. The first meeting in July, they'll do
January.
The first meeting in January, they will do their reorganization, and the majority of the board will select who they want. It does not have to go in rotation. It can be any one of them. But obviously, if Corky makes it, three of those board members would be brand new and not really ready to be chair, and so it would either be Cry or Kellstrom. I'm hoping it's Supervisor Kellstrom, and the reason why is because when that opportunity comes around, you take it, right? You
absolutely.
You know, you take it, and then you become the leader, the best that leader that you can. And so I'm hoping that that is what happens.
Now, yeah, he had a really good platform, and it needs to come to fruition. You know, when he was getting elected, I really liked his platform. I'm turncoat Tim in his district, so I'm glad to get him out of there. But,
well, the truth be told, head and shoulders above the rest, that was my slogan, so I created that. Kellstrom will disagree with me on that. But, and then on to your next question. You know, one of the things, you know, because I knew Thomas Toller prior a little bit, and ethical standards seemed to be very high with him, and from some of the people around him, they felt that ethically he would be very good, and we want people to follow the laws, right? Now, we don't like a lot of the laws that we have in California, but we do try to follow them the best that we can, as long as they are constitutional. And I'm not going to do anything that's not constitutional. And the one thing Thomas said was that he could bring transparency to this election, because they've been holding off people that are volunteers. They've been pushing us back. I've gone down there several times, and I'm trying to observe with meaningful observation. I'm out at 20 or 30 feet, which that limits my meaningful observation. Thomas said he was going to fix that. And so ROV Toller has failed in that regard. He has not done that. It appears that he's letting the current staff that is there do things exactly or very close to the way they've done them in the past. That is not what he said, and I take everybody at their word. He promised that we would be more transparent, and there's nothing to fear from the public. You know, and the counting of ballots should be a very public process. Take down the barriers. Take down the iron grids they have. Open the doors. Let people have meaningful observation. We don't need cameras when you have meaningful observation, because I'm right there watching what you do. And that's the way you restore.
I think we do need cameras and the whole 10 yards, because if you have cameras, it also keeps the people that are working the ballots honest. Well, they know that there's that third eye.
I agree. It would be nice to have everything videoed and available to the public, because, again, the ballot is, once it's removed from that envelope, there's no mark on there that you can identify it back to a voter. And that should be a very public process. That was the one thing Tom said he would do. And I'm so disappointed that that didn't happen, because yeah.
Do you guys have any power over that to bring him in?
We do not. Unfortunately, he is now going to be considered an elected official, even though we appointed him. He will stay in that role until that term ends.
When is that term?
Well, so he's got 2 more years.
Okay.
And but it is a primary in 2026, so really to get reelected will come, you know, he'll have to be, if he chooses to rerun, it'll come in about a year or less, right?
So March of 26?
Correct.
Okay.
It'll come very quickly. And we've worked really hard, you know, back in January when we got rid of the Dominion machines, we went to hand count. We already know how to hand count, because all
right.
Counties already have
right.
a hand count and a recount process. And so we worked hard.
They can't cheat.
And that's,
if there's hand counting.
It just makes it tougher, right? It eliminates
mm-hmm.
some of the opportunities. There are still other means of cheating. But so we worked hard to get there, and unfortunately the state pushes back, passes laws specifically. Mm-hmm. And I'm super disappointed with our ROV Allen at that time. Obviously you can see from the mistrust from the Centers for Tech and Civic Life doing stuff behind our back. That's the type of ROV we had. She went down quickly to Sacramento and got an assembly person to create that Assembly Bill 960. Doing everything she can to be counterproductive to the will of this board. And I once had a meeting with her and Mary Williams, acting CEO. Mary Williams was in the room, and it got heated, as it always did, because I'm not getting information, and I'm not happy with what they're saying. One of the things I had said was, you know, it's the ROV's it's their ability to restore trust with the voters, and she said that's not my concern. So she was not concerned with restoring trust, and everything that they're doing right now, not everything, but many things that they're doing right now could easily help restore trust, We have some good people down there wanting to have meaningful observation. That's all they want to do. They want to make sure we have a fair election to the best that we can see. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things we can't see. And there's no reason to push us back. But that mentality is still being played out. And it's being played out on a national level as well, as if these people are extremists. They call us J6ers, right? I'm not a J6er. I just want meaningful observation. They label us extremists and far right. And so
you want an honest election.
Right, you know, and so we're not there yet, but a lot of people around the world, a lot of people in this country are aware that we are selecting people, not electing people. And if by the grace of God, Trump becomes our next president, I believe these issues are going to start getting resolved. But again, I'm very fearful. I know he will be elected, but I do not think he'll be selected.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing is too is that all of us are a little nervous about some of the things we've seen, especially with Tim Garman, how he switched. Yeah. I mean, and I'm hoping that Toller is not another Tim Garman, because
that's what I say, Terry. This morning to my husband.
If
it feels that way,
well, you know, I don't know. I'm going to reserve my judgment to see what he does.
Well, why wouldn't he do the cameras over the station?
Yeah, the thing is that when it comes to someone's personality or what they're like, you know, is it going to be more important to somebody to get reelected, no matter who votes for them, so they stay in office and receive their salary and receive their pension and receive their benefits, or is that person going to stand up for what's right? And I'm sitting across from somebody here that didn't even take the benefits with Patrick Jones, and I don't think there's enough said about that.
Well, it's not about them, the individual.
I'm taking the clock.
You're taking the clock, yeah. It's not about the elected. It's about the constituency.
Well, yeah,
and
of course it is.
That's what it's 100% about. Do not do the job,
right,
they need to be replaced,
right,
however that works.
Right.
They need to be replaced and sent down the road. I don't care who they are or what they stand for.
I agree. And one last thing, and then I'll turn it back over to Patrick. But I'm tired of hearing about on-the-job training. Well, you know, he hasn't had that much experience or anything. There's, you know, the point is that if you say you're going to do something and you get into office, damn it, do it.
Do it.
You know, if you're going to be transparent, damn it, do it. You know, if you're in a situation to where you're going to go in there and become, and just sort of let things go and just ride along with everything. And at this point, I'm going to reserve my judgment, Mary. I'm going to do that. But I am very nervous that we have another Tim Garman, or could have.
One more thing I wanted to mention is when Toler came out and said that Runbeck had done the printing in Chesapeake County, Nevada County, they were both having this overspray issue. It's very suspicious to me. Runbeck is who Carrie Lake, they helped steal her election, and she was very vocal about this Runbeck coming out of Maricopa. And I don't know if our Board of Supervisors realized that. I knew about that a long time ago after Carrie Lake had brought it up. But there's something very suspicious with 117,000 ballots in Shasta County. Now they have to duplicate all the ballots because they cannot go through. Either that could be a positive for having to maybe kind of hand count in a way, you know, or totally not the other way. I'm not really sure which way, but
so what
that's
Runbeck,
why the cameras need to be up over these stations in there.
Yeah, Mary, let him respond.
So,
okay.
So we have been meeting well over a year, a group of us, and groups are various election integrity groups in town, and I go to one of the two meetings regularly, and we have talked about Runbeck and trying to have a California company produce our ballots. And so there's been talk of that. I've even mentioned it. In fact, we've received emails that we should get rid of Runbeck. And I knew they were under investigation, and I knew the issues, or at least some of the issues that were happening in Arizona. And Toller seemed to think that, ROV Toller seemed to think there wasn't enough time to change vendors. And I personally would like to produce our own ballots in Shasta County and get a company certified to do that, and not worry about these other bad actors out there. And so that's we have been discussing this for quite some time, and we were kind of assured by Toller that, you know, he's going to be doing things, but incrementally. That's the word that he uses, incrementally. He even went down for a couple of days to Runbeck, in his own words, to see how the sausage is made. But again, you're only going to see what they want you to see. You're not going to see everything. I've had only a couple emails with ROV Toller, but I wanted to read this so people could get a little better understanding, because there's been some questions as to whether these machines are hooked up or connected to the internet. Now, and I can tell you this, really, the people in the industry, they no longer use that term, and they haven't for quite some time. Now, our machines, HART, and all the other machines have internet capabilities. They're capable of that, built into them. That is what's said in the contract. However, we cannot open the machines, touch them in any way. Ask Carrie Lake what happened, or ask Tina Peters what happens when you try to back up or duplicate, you know, those hard drives, what happens. She's gotten in serious trouble over that. The same would happen here. We have three proprietary software systems, HART, ESNS, and Dominion. You must purchase one of those three, and you cannot look inside of them. And if that's not insanity, I don't know what is. But here's a little back and forth. Now, this was from our friend Steve Umfleet, and he I had him take a look at an email, and what he kind of, I'm just going to read a part of it here, but he says, Mr. Toller also asserts that our election systems are not connected to the internet. This language is prone to misunderstanding. My county has abolished such language, possibly because it would serve to arouse suspicion rather than reduce it. Voters are connected, are concerned that these systems can be compromised through external communications, and the phrase "not connected to the internet" is intended, you know, to relieve these concerns. It's well known, however, that a system needs not to be consistently connected to the internet, but only needs seconds over the course of an election cycle to be compromised. Seconds. Internet connectivity can be achieved through wireless communications, through cellular, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, near-field communication methods, most of all which are available on cell phones. ESNS, HART shipped thousands of wireless capable systems to counties. Some of these counties stipulated they wanted no wireless capabilities, but yet they were provided such abilities anywhere. Dominion systems, in particular, in Mesa County, Colorado, were found by election staff to contain over 30 wireless devices. The court case in Washington County and in Oregon revealed that an election clerk was able to turn off wireless capabilities without a password. So all this kind of stuff, and so it's reasonable to suspect that HART systems are similarly equipped because all three are very similar. And in fact, some of the work that Clint Curtis did in Texas in the 2022 primary showed that exactly. So what Clint did, he went down to Texas, and on election night, and this is Clint Curtis, and he's a lawyer and a computer programmer, and I've had him here at a town hall before, but when he was in Texas, now Texas is interesting because they have 254 counties, a lot of counties. Yep. And so what he did on election night, and this was, you know, after 8 o'clock, so the polls close, and then they post the first number, which is going to be the early votes. And so he had a computer screen, and he posted all 254 counties the first drop. And he noticed eight counties of different sizes had the exact same number of people voting for the Republican, the same number for the Democrat, and the same number for the Independent. Now, this is impossible. obviously, there's been some computer manipulation. Eight counties with the exact same number. Somebody obviously did not change the algorithm and probably didn't feel somebody was going to be looking at the first drop in its entirety. So he goes to court. And what do you think the judge says? I'm not impressed. And you have no standing. Have a nice day. Across this country, the judges are wimpy. They're wimpy here in Shasta County, as we've seen as well. They are scared to death to decertify an election because of what is going to come after that. You're going to find that elections have been selections for at least 8, 9, 10 years. And people are in office. They've made decisions. Trillions of dollars have passed through people's hands that should not have been in those positions to make those decisions. It's happened, I believe, in probably most counties throughout the United States.
Yeah, you know, and your backup system on that is that it seems like most of the sheriffs now in most of the counties in California seem to retire with a year to go, or so that means that the person that gets appointed becomes the incumbent. We're now having the same thing. We had the same thing happen a while back with the DA. We had the same thing happen just now with Toler. It seems as if our vote and our opportunity to select our representatives is getting few and far between.
I agree.
I was shocked that Kevin Cry didn't vote for – what was I shocked? No, probably not shocked. Because I kind of feel that I don't really understand why Kevin Cry didn't vote for Clint.
Well, you know, we're going to
push you too,
Mary.
To,
you know, yeah. I agree. I mean, you know, I wanted Clint too, but the point is we're going to get back on the subject that we're on here because Patrick has more things to share with us. And so,
thank you for your service, Patrick. You're one of the good guys. Well, you'll be missed.
Thank you, Mary. We appreciate all of that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, and the more we look on these things, and, you know, right now, you know, I'd like to, you know, thank a few people. We've got people out there, Jim, doing a lot of work. We've got Dan. We've got Laura. We've got Mary. We've got Richard. We have several Lori's. I mean, there's a long list of people. Bev, you know, Patty, you know, Ronin. I mean, there is just a long list of people. I'm forgetting most of them, but... And Laura, of course, and really doing a lot of work into the election system that we have. And again, it wouldn't matter which system that we're talking about. It wouldn't matter whether we had Hart or ES&S or Dominion. I believe their components are all built in China. You're going to have the same results. They've selected these three, so it's been very lucrative for these three individual companies. It's insane that we have to purchase a system. You must purchase one of three, and you cannot look inside. You have to trust that it's okay. And that just is fundamentally wrong. There is no one on this planet that can tell me otherwise, that I'm having to trust. And so when you put your ballot in there, you know, there is no way to verify what happened. And they're doing California is doing everything they can to limit our ability to have a meaningful audit. And in fact, on the last primary we had, our audit failed. As we conducted extensive review of the systems, the audit failed. And, of course, as it goes before a judge, he's not interested. He's not impressed. But when your audit fails, it means you can't reproduce what occurred and its nefarious actions. And, you know, and so we know it. They know it. Everybody knows it. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it?
Yep. And with that, we're going to probably go off for our break now because we have Richard holding. Richard, hold on. We have to go to our 30-minute break, and then we'll get back to you on the other side. So time has come.
For 51.
Get her done.
Amen.
Annual Reading Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. Happy holidays. During this time, it's important to salute our military personnel, domestically and abroad, who work to keep our country safe. It's during the holidays, that warm, happy feeling of being together with family, that we sometimes take for granted how much we have to be thankful for. So we want to make sure that we let the families and those who serve know that we appreciate their service above self during the holidays.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual Shaggy Foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos, finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Moonshine's the best medicine.
There you go. Clears your throat.
I know all my healthy friends are dead. Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Patrick Jones, and we're going to proceed in this day of reckoning with a lot of things that are going on in our county that we need to have corrected.
Amen.
Talking about people who dig into things in our county that need to be corrected. We have Richard on the line. How are you, sir?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Can't hear you, Rich.
What? Did you want me to call in and talk about election stuff and then possibly even starting a talk also about maybe starting a recall on another elected official?
You know, whatever trips your trigger, but I mean...
I think stick to elections today.
I would stick to elections, yeah, because...
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, the recall thing for another day.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so election stuff. I was not able to listen to most of the last 9 o'clock hour, so I know Patrick's been talking a lot about the election issues. But here's a question I asked Patrick yesterday. I said... if these machines are reading marks that are not visible to the naked eye, I would like to know what other things they are reading that are not visible to the naked eye. How about that question?
Well, I'm not even sure that what we're being told is correct. I'm not. I wouldn't hang my hat on that. They're saying, and I have looked at the bar code, bar scanner with a magnifying glass, and I do see a little bit of fuzziness there. I'm just not sure if the machine would be able to read that or to not read that. That is what we're being told. That's all the information that I have. But, you know, again, dealing with Runbeck and the other issues that we've seen and the other problems, this to me, you know, because right now we have, well, let's back up a couple weeks ago, we had 117 Shasta County ballots in Shasta County shipped here from Runbeck.
117,000.
Now, 117,000. Now Runbeck has brought in another 100,000 to take care of this problem. So they're going to be duplicating the bad ballots, however many that
is.
How
many ballots do we have now? 200 and plus?
We have over 200,000, and we have machines that are capable of producing ballots. So we have a lot of ballots out there. So I'm sure 120% of the population will be voting this year.
I'm going off of one of the news stories that was talking about the machines are seeing things that the naked eye cannot. That was in one of the news stories. That's where I got that information from.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the bar scan, you know, and I've looked at mine, it looks normal. Now, I don't know whether my ballot is a good ballot or not, right? I mean,
right.
They're going to tell me whether my ballot is good or not, and then they're going to duplicate it or not, and I will not be able to have any control over that. It's unfortunate, but it's just one more layer now that is not helping in the manner of trying to restore trust with the voters. This is not helping. This is a problem.
Yeah.
This is a problem with Hart, and this is a problem with Runbeck. Two companies that I would rather not deal with, that unfortunately we're having to deal with.
And unfortunately, Mr. Toller apparently does not seem to be concerned with printing and scanning issues that are happening around the country, but not only happening here, and the mass fraudulent voter registrations that are being filed last minute with a lot of the places that allow last minute registrations, and that's, you know, Pennsylvania is like, hey, we got all these massive fraudulent registrations recently. This is all intentional, including our problems here. When is the last time we've had a scanning tabulator print, fuzzy print, whatever issue like this? We haven't had that here. This is intentionally occurring. All these events in the country are intentional, and this is to create chaos. This is to create a question for an eventual certification or not. Did you hear what I said? Or not certifying the election at all levels. So guess who gets to stay in office if we don't certify the national elections? Yeah, you heard right. This is all intentional to for the chaos. And now before they were like, well, you guys, you have to certify, you have to declare. Well, all of a sudden now the leftards are saying, well, maybe you can't certify and declare. Gee, how come all of a sudden the change of heart there?
Exactly. I had a reporter come from San Francisco last week, and he wanted to do a story on the District 3 race. And I found that rather interesting that he came just because of that one race. And again, what would one little race here in Shasta, in small Shasta County, matter, right? Well, that race will shift the balance of the board back to the Modi days or of Forward Progress under the Jones years, and they came here to do a story on that, and so obviously it has attention, and when you have attention, I think you might have problems.
Yeah.
Well, and this is unfortunate, but you know, Patrick, the board you sit on now, you guys did have an opportunity 6+ months ago to change to find a new printer vendor to decide on separating the county ballots or not, and for whatever reason, your board decided to wait for the new registrar, and then, of course, it was too late to do those things. So it's unfortunate that our current Board of Supervisor majority didn't put those things in place, because that would have really solved a lot of issues, and that's water under the bridge at this point. But
well, I agree with and I talked directly to you and to others, and I too wanted to change from Runbeck, but unfortunately, if the chairman of the board is not willing to do so, then it's a moot point, and that's what occurred. And so I agree with you.
So that was Kevin Cry.
That was Chairman Cry.
Okay.
And so it didn't occur. And there's been, you know, when you're in politics, there's many battles, and you try to win as many as you can so you can win the war, and that's what's good for my district, and that's what's good for Shasta County.
And I get that. I get all the politics, but unfortunately, without a fair and transparent election, what else matters?
No, I agree. I mean, and I think we're all learning more and more that we've underestimated the position of ROV for quite some time, that is a super important, and I don't think any longer it will be a minimal elected position. I think it's going to be very different coming forward. And I think we're going to see some more change because obviously
I hope next year we do that. I hope next year, with a new county board makeup, I hope next year we separate the local ballots, and I hope we get another printer. Orange County does their own printing. In fact, they're one of the approved vendors.
Yeah.
The county of Orange is one of the approved vendors. So we can do the same thing. We can set up our own ballot printing service right here in Shasta County. And maybe we only do our ballots and we don't take anybody else's, but we can still do it at the county level. Whether you do a private vendor or the county runs it, whatever, it's still the same certification process.
No, I agree.
We can still do those two things next year. We can separate the ballots and we can print them locally. So let's make that a priority for next year for our new board, I hope. And that's really all I have today on the election. If I could remind everybody, please, on voting, go to your precinct, your assigned precinct, on election day. Have your original mail ballot, an envelope, maybe in your car, let's say. Go inside. Yep, you're ready to vote. Here's a precinct. Ask for a precinct ballot. Vote it. Put it in the box. If they say you've already voted, go get your ballot out of your car and say, nope, this is my mail ballot that I received. I have not voted, and I demand to vote. They will give you a provisional ballot. They must allow you to vote that day. After that, then you issue a challenge. You go to the elections office the next day. You issue a formal vote challenge and say, somebody stole my ballot. They stole my vote, and I want to issue a formal written challenge. And then once you've done that, now you go to the sheriff's office and you file a report for identity theft. And I'm just saying, we have to do these things. There's not much left we can do at the moment, but that's our recommendation for election day.
All right, thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, he is correct in that. A lot of things that he said are true, and I appreciate all the work Richard's done. He's done a lot of research, and but we needed boldness, and we didn't quite get the boldness that we were hoping for in the ROV. I'm still holding out some hope for more change and meaningful observation for sure. But time is going to be running out quickly, and then another change may have to occur. And there are some other good races out there. If you're kind of concerned about, if you have your ballots, take a look at Reading City Council. That's going to be very important to get people like Dr. Danuka elected, people like Dave Backus and Mike Latow. Those are going to be people that are not affiliated with Bethel, and I think will make better decisions and end the Bethel juggernaut, so that's important. The Shasta County Office of Education, Jackie LaLibera and Richard Gallardo are two very good choices that could really help change the makeup of SCOE. And then take a look at all the different school boards out there. For me, obviously, Measure P and Q. These are appointed This was created by our chair Cry, and I'm voting yes on P and Q, and I think those are really good things.
And Michelle Tyson as well, adding her to the list, and also Teresa Roberts.
Yep, Teresa Roberts.
Yeah, they're all good for the SCOE boards.
Yeah, I think that P and Q are going to be good. I just feel like we're sort of, I don't know, maybe getting a single where we need a home run. Talking about singles and home runs.
We need grand slams.
We do need grand slam. Talking about grand slams. How are you, Kevin? What say you, sir?
Good, sir. Hey, to hit a grand slam, you got to get four people on base, right? Or three people on base. I want to just, and I got to tell you, you guys are killing me. I love your guys' show, so I wind up going to second service now instead of just going to first service after my show. So I wound up, because you guys were on 2 hours, I decided to just go to second service. So hey, really
Kevin,
quick,
you should go to both services.
Good for the soul, buddy.
Listen, it's not a Baptist church.
Well, there's your first mistake.
Exactly. So I want to articulate something that Richard Gallardo said, because I agree. I agree about separating the county ballot. And so I've been working with Matt Hansen at North Valley Business Systems about printing our own ballots. And somebody could actually FOIA this if they wanted, if they didn't believe me. I had emails going back nearly 6 months about what it would take for us to print our own ballots here in Shasta County. And really, it wasn't so much about fraud that I was really adamant about printing our ballots. You know, here in Shasta County, it was more just about keeping those dollars and the workforce moving in Shasta County.
Kevin, this is only for clarity, yeah. Okay, buddy? That's the only reason. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but I need some clarity here.
No.
Okay, so if you knew about this 6 months ago, and we were looking at it 6 months ago, what happened? How come the board, was there a discussion with the board about this stuff?
From what I understand, it takes about a year to go move through the approval process. So, Supervisor Jones, Patrick is correct. He did talk to me about it. So when I looked at it, I was told it takes a really, really large amount of time. And that was before Tom Toller was there. So in that process, I wanted to make sure it had started. So I'm hoping and I'm believing that we will print our ballots here in Shasta County for the next election. In, you know, if that next election is truly,
yeah, that's going to be a little late, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the hand we're dealt. So I just wanted to clarify. I think that is a good idea, what Rich Gallardo had said, and then Patrick had brought it up, but we just didn't have the time to do it. So, you know, that'll go out to an RFP, but that's something I know that's on, I believe, R.O. Toller's, you know, list of things that he wants to do after this election.
Hey,
but I don't disagree.
What takes a year to figure out printing?
Why is somebody telling you a year?
And why are we accepting that year time frame?
Yeah.
Well, it works. I mean, for me, when we say why we're accepting it, it really just comes down to what the Secretary of State deems is the process you have to go through. And what we know is the Secretary of State gets to make up, and the state of California gets to make up the rules as they go along. So what I'm hoping for is that we get this done and then it doesn't become a centralized, you have to use, you know, one organization. And I don't think they'll do that, because then it falls into like the SB 90 stuff where they'd have to pay for our ballots if we had to only use one vendor. So, again, that's the, and I think when Patrick, or Supervisor Jones mentioned that, you know, it's not so much about political wins as it is about, like, I personally want to tackle things that I know that we can invest the energy and see a result of. So the ballots is something that's very important. I agree, and this just gives it that much more case. I mean, again, three of us wanted to hand count. I still would rather hand count, because we wouldn't have to deal with all this stuff. And I've actually asked the ROV, could we do a really, really, instead of a 1% manual audit or tally, could we do a much larger 20%, 30%, 40% possibly, just to bring in voter confidence? So I know, you know, I'm one of many people that are giving him, you know, ideas and recommendations to, you know, bring more trust back into elections, and I hope he'll consider that.
Why not do 100% hand count and then do the machines as a backup?
I wouldn't disagree with that. Ultimately, and I think Supervisor Jones spoke to this, I mean, the ROV is an elected position. Granted, he's appointed, but we have no jurisdiction over the decisions he makes other than budgetary at this point.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, no, the ROV runs the day-to-day operations. We can't tell the ROV, you know, we do control the budget and contracts like Dominion. And that's when I had my issues with ROV Allen. You know, I was out of options to try to restore trust. And so, to me, making the decision to get rid of Dominion was something that the board could do without penalty. And it's turned out, you know, that we saved a lot of money doing that. They said it would cost a lot of money. It did not. We saved money. We had a bad deal with Dominion. It was a very bad deal, as President Trump would say. And we have a better deal today. We were misinformed. I was misinformed. I think the entire board was misinformed when ROV Allen back in January of 2023 said the Secretary of State is going to recommend, it's their recommendation, or it's going to be required that we have to take an electronic image of the ballot and serialize the ballot. And so I'm going to need to purchase these four Canon DRG2140 image casting machines. Well, what those machines were electronic tabulators, which is what we're using today. And the board would have never purchased those because that's what we wanted to get rid of, right? We didn't want electronic tabulation. Now, she concealed that information from the board, and she also misled the board because, in fact, this machine that we have does not serialize, which would have really helped us right now. Having a serialized ballot is super important, and ours are not.
So she lied to the board.
She did.
To get something that she wanted done for whatever reason, nefarious at best. So she lied to the board.
And she said it was in the contract. You should have read the contract better. But, you know, contracts are lengthy, and they hide them in places where it makes it difficult. And and she knew that we did not want to go back to electronic tabulation. That was the whole point of having a hand count, right? Is that where you were not?
I feel it was a very disingenuous meeting of electeds trying to solve a problem collectively. At the end of the day, the contract is very lengthy. And going forward, I learned a very, very tough lesson in that capacity, is in terms of reading every single word. And a lot of times, I think people just take other people's word for being honest and open. And I've learned very quickly in government that's not what you do.
Well, we've seen a lot of that happen. And I think one of the things that we have to be looking at, and we're starting to hear this quite a bit from elected officials, not the two people we're talking to here, but, you know, this upcoming election may be the most important in our lifetimes. And we keep saying, well, at the next election, he'll fix this. Well, you know, there may not be a next election the way things are going. And I think that we never had a sense of urgency, but we still have 2 months left in this year where the current board will sit. And I think I can echo this for a lot of people. There's a lot of frustration. Really and truly, you guys, it's time to hang it all out there. It really is time to get out there and say, hey, you just put your foot down. I mean, at what point do we say no?
Well, you know, I will say this, Terry, and I'm going to give some credit to Chair Cry
This isn't personal for anybody.
Well, I know. This year we've had more meetings, and I made it a point when I was chair last year to have more meetings. We were only doing two meetings a month prior. Mm-hmm. And the problem was your staff reports are 5 and 6 and 7, even up to 900 pages. And that's where things get missed. And staff was doing that, I believe, rather deliberately because of this. And I had complained that we needed more meetings. I was fortunate enough to be chair. I added more meetings. And then Chair Cry has even added more meetings than what I have done. And our last staff report was under 200 pages. And so how nice that is, because you can really read it once or twice, really get the detail, and go over every word. And that's the way that it should be. It's good for the board. It's good for the public. It's good for my district. It's good for every supervisor's district to have more meetings. And I think next year, whomever is chair, they should basically have at least three meetings a month, almost every week, almost. And the reason why I would say almost is because we do have holidays and vacation that employees do need to take, you know, and so, but three a month would be, I think, and of course, you're still going to have special meetings and other things like
that.
Right,
and I think you're right about that. The thing is that, you know, we keep going to next year. I think the thing is the people of Shasta County want some action now. They wanted action yesterday. There's a lot of people who are still a little bit sore about the fact that we certified the vote. You know, there's a lot of people that are sore about that. But what I'm saying is that there doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. I'm not saying that some of the things like P and Q aren't good things, but I mean,
I've only got two more months, so things are fairly urgent for me.
You think? That's my point. Yeah. And I think we're not, there's a lot of people that believe that, and I think we need to start doing something on that. It can't just be one. I mean, if there's three of you that are willing to lead us down the path to liberty and getting our rights back, then let's go.
You know,
let's go.
You know, Terry, I've sat on, you know, city council for years and years, you know, two terms, not being able to get a lot done. Every once in a while, I'd have a victory and I'd have one small battle that I would win, but ultimately the war was lost there. And I will say in the last 2 years with Supervisor Cry and Supervisor Kellstrom, it has been a night and day different environment, what we've been able to accomplish.
And uncover.
We've accomplished a tremendous amount in 2 years. I can comfortably say these last 2 years we've gotten more done than in my 10 years prior. That's how much stuff got done and how much changes have occurred. So we've moved at a, I would say in government terms, we've moved at a rapid pace compared to what's happened in the past. And it's only because of that 2022 election in the fall where Supervisor Kellstrom and Supervisor Cry were successful. That has made a huge difference. We now have almost every department head changed at the county. I tell you, our county council had been doing some very bad things, and you're going to be hearing about a lot of those things. We're going to be uncovering them the ability. You're going to see what we had. And just from this, the CTCL, you could see what here was an elected official, what they were doing behind our backs. And they did that to the entire board, which that was so disrespectful to the voters because we're the elected officials. Right, we make those decisions, and then here they rewrite a contract, send it forward without our knowledge. What else were these types of people doing? Do you think this is their first time rewriting a contract? Probably not.
No. That's malfeasance.
And so we had some bad actors. Amen. All the way from our past CEO, Matt Pontus, to the Sheriff Magrini, to you name it. And most of those people have gone now, and we're a far better county over having new people in. And we happen to be conservative, and unfortunately we're just not all Baptists.
I don't think that there's anyone, that's conservative in this county and there's a lot of us, that don't believe that you guys have done a fantastic job. That's not what we're saying.
Well, Mary Rickert, who is the most conservative of all, claim that they're not doing a good job.
But anyway, the point is that right now it's crunch time. You got to leave it all on the field. You know, it's third down and 10, and we've got to get in the end zone to win the game.
Well, obviously,
the point I'm trying to make.
You know, my thinking, obviously, you know, there's some things that I only have, you know, 4 or 5 meetings left, right? So obviously, there's things that I want to get buttoned up before I'm gone.
Yep.
And for the other supervisors, they still have 2 years, so their mindset is going to be slightly different. I'm all torpedoes ahead right now, right? Trying to get everything that I can done as quick as I can, because I only have a short amount of time. Now, you know, what happens when I'm off? I do believe this District 3 race is so important because, and I do believe Corky will win that. And the reason why I believe that is because, Mary Rickert, Supervisor Rickert, only got 40% of the vote last time. 60% of the vote went to two other people.
True.
And when Carpenter ran a great race, his votes will not go to Mary Rickert. His votes will definitely go to Corky. And so I don't see any way, other than cheating, that Supervisor Rickert should be able to win that race. That should still keep this board pretty conservative. And what it'll do is allow some of the things that we've started to be completed. Now, if Supervisor Rickert gets a third term going against the will of the voters, as they've already said, two terms by a large margin, if she happened to win that race, you're going to see a different board. And unfortunately, Supervisor Kellstrom and Supervisor Cry will not be in a position to move their ideas forward like we've been able to do today. It'll be a different board. It'll be like me and Gary Cadd back, you know, in 2012 and 13. You know, we won't be as effective. You know, but boards come and go, people come and go, and this election is really, this District 3 race is really important, and sure would have been nice to have Mr. Carpenter in District 3.
No kidding.
That would have been, that would have really ensured that we had a good conservative board. The board should be conservative because it's a conservative county, and it's super rare, and again, I'll give some more credit to Supervisor Cry. District 1 is our toughest district, right? It's the most liberal district, and he was able to not only get elected there, but also to push back a recall that was heavily funded, very, very well organized, and he withstood that. And and to do that as a conservative in District 1 is remarkable.
Yeah, it is totally remarkable.
Yeah. Especially when you have two board members, board members, professing they want you recalled. One clown wearing a shirt, and that same clown called out the other participant for not wearing her shirt to the board meeting.
And one thing I'll interject really quick. I would
it's got to be really quick because we only got about 40 seconds.
Just reserve judgment for Plummer and Long when they get in there. Let's see if they truly are for the people, which I'm crossing my fingers that they are, and they don't become the turncoat tip.
Well, I think most of us agree with you, my friend. Anyway, Patrick, again, thank you for everything. I'm kind of looking forward to next year because we'll have a little more accessibility to you and your bride, so that'll be a lot of fun. And it'll also be something to work. You know, the fight's just begun, ladies and gentlemen.
And with closing, in the months to come, I'll be making an announcement. People have asked what I'm going to be doing, and so I'm going to let the public know what I'm going to be doing.
There you go.
Not well, today.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Not today.
Well, we got to pry that out of him before he leaves.
Waiting.
Waity. All
Thank right. you, Kevin.
Yep.
All right.
Well, I guess time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Hey, CA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Americans elect a president in less than 2 days now. Both candidates are campaigning hard. Yesterday, former President Donald Trump made multiple stops, including in Gastonia, North Carolina, where he vowed to save the country.
This is all you need to know. Kamala broke it. She broke it. We will fix it. I will fix it. It'll be fixed very fast. And America will be bigger, better, bolder, richer, safer, and stronger than ever before.
And he finished with this.
I put everything on the line for you, and including my life itself. I mean, in all fairness, I don't talk about it, but I did. And I need you to do one thing. We don't want your money. I don't want any money. I don't want anything. We don't want. All we want is one simple thing. Get out on Tuesday.
No one knows how the election will turn out, but the Federal Reserve's move on Thursday of this week is much easier to predict. With inflation declining a bit, the Fed is expected to cut interest rates for a second time this year. The central bank's future actions, though, will become more complex once the new president and Congress come into office in January. Conservationists and a Native American tribe suing to block a Nevada lithium mine they say will drive an endangered wildflower to extinction, as well as disrupt groundwater flows and threaten cultural resources. The Center for Biological Diversity promised the court battle before the U.S. Interior Department approved Ioneer's lithium boron mine at a place where this particular buckwheat is known to grow. This is another battle between President Biden and the left wing of his own party. Moldovans casting votes today in a decisive presidential runoff that pits pro-Western incumbent Maya Sandu against Russia-friendly former Prosecutor General Alexander Stogliano. The vote is to be held as ongoing claims of voter fraud and intimidation fly about. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, everyone. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-818-0200 to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell our listeners who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here to help the listeners. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma should give us a call right now and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-818-0200.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. If you or a loved one were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for cash compensation. 800-818-0200.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Angry protesters have left red handprints in front of government buildings in the Serbian capital to demand the arrest of officials 2 days after a concrete canopy collapsed at a railway station, killing 14 people and injuring three others. Police formed a cordon outside the seat of the government Ministry of Construction and Infrastructure in central Belgrade, and several thousand people called for the ministers to step down immediately. The canopy that ran along the front of the railway station in the northern city of Novi Sad collapsed suddenly on Friday, landing on people who were sitting on benches and passing through the building's entrance. 14 people killed when lightning struck a church in a refugee camp in northern Uganda. The incident happened yesterday in the remote district of Lamwo, but was reported this morning by police who say 34 other people were injured when the lightning hit the makeshift metallic structure in the Palabek settlement camp. It primarily houses refugees from South Sudan. News and analysis at townhall.com. Correspondent Rika Ann Garcia reports on Japan's plan for a highway conveyor belt.
Japan is planning an automated cargo transport corridor between Tokyo and Osaka to make up for a shortage of truck drivers. The system is viewed as a solution to manage soaring deliveries as the country's workforce declines. The government is promoting it as a conveyor belt road. A computer graphics video made by the government shows big wheeled boxes moving along a three-lane corridor in the middle of a big highway. A trial system is due to start test runs in the next couple of years, and they're aiming for a full rollout in 5 years. I'm Rika Ann Garcia.
Today is Sunday, November the 3rd. It's the 308th day of 2024. There are just 58 days left in the old year, and we're back on standard time today. Today in history, 1911. Chevrolet Motor Car Company was founded in Detroit. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Accents are in these days, I hear.
The accent.
I guess we could do a bunch of them, but I'm going to let it go. Today is November 3rd, 2024. My name is Mark Kent. I am your host once again. This is Sovereign Minds, the radio show, not the podcast. We'll be doing a podcast tomorrow. Boy, I'll tell you what. It's November 3rd. It's like 2 days till election.
Just two. Just barely.
Is that crazy? I mean, what a...
Well, it's 2 days until they start election week.
It's That's... 2 days till they start an actual... That it's like... it's. I know. It's like... So, voting's been going on for like a month. Like, election day is tomorrow. Like, selection day is tomorrow? I don't know. We've got some crazy crap going on around out there. Well, do we have a chat room?
Yeah, I'm getting that up right now.
Yeah, I noticed that the slime, they must have shut down the chat room earlier because it was slimy. Some people are just slimy and bent. And
right now we're taking a break from the KCNR chat.
Mental.
Trying to break an addiction of
Break the addiction.
Yeah, the addiction to what? Stupidity. wait a minute. Okay, so that's crazy. Anyway, I am here in the studio with my co-host today. We've got Dave, who rocks around the clock, faster than a speeding internet connection, the high-speed download thing, all of that.
Good morning, good morning. Yep, I am just bringing the mobile studio up right now and getting all the details done on it. But
we'll let everybody know how to get there. We're doing a short show. We wanted to give Jefferson State of Mind the last hour as an important show if you were listening. A lot of good information there, and I think people are coming to Jesus on this about what they've been doing, and everything that the Democrats have been doing has lie, cheat, steal, take your pick. It's all about power, it's all about money, it's all about whatever, but it ain't about being honest.
Well, and we're at a place in history and a place in time to where the vast majority of Americans can accept that the CIA actually offed a sitting president because they didn't like what he was doing. And we also have very little faith in our elections based upon the crap that they're pulling. And it really, it reminds me of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. And I look at that and I see that you had a lot of people that were returning from war. You had a corrupt sheriff that was basically ruining everybody's lives and passing out more tickets per citizen than basically anywhere at any other time in the world and just stealing from their populace. And it took the people that were coming back from war to go to war to be able to get their city back. And there was nobody that was arrested despite the fact they ended up having a shootout with the sheriff, if that tells you anything. And it's a very interesting story if you ever have time to look it up. We've actually talked about it previously on the show, but it's pretty disconcerting the amount of rhetoric and things like that that's coming across the board right now, because I'm looking at it right now, and you've got aides to the Hillary campaign that are talking about slitting necks of Trump supporters and things like that this last week. You've got different people. There was one guy, I believe it was Massachusetts, that he ended up voting illegally inside of the election, and he's from China, and they said that his vote's still going to count because they can't take it out. They don't know how to end up doing it. But the only reason they got turned on to the idea that he voted with a student ID, which his university is actually going to be defending him in this case, was the fact that he went back and said that he'd like to have his ballot back. So that was the only reason he ended up getting caught.
I heard that the cats in Ohio are voting now, too. Just kidding, just kidding.
No, they're actually not voting. They're actually coming to dinner at most places, I hear. I do have a clip here.
And we just went live on the Rumble. So
all right, cool. I'll join that. And then I do want to get the town hall out of the way as well, because that's important here. And we used to do that at the top of the hour here, but we're running short of time. So let's get this out of the way first, and then we'll go on. Oh, hold on a second. I guess I got to plug that in, right? Is that how that works?
I believe so. Let's see. Not sure where that one goes.
Hold on. Here we go.
Good times. Good times.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, I'm kind of in a halfway mood here. We've had a little bit of time off, and it's like getting back into the swing of things. Here we go.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm TV Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local update. A pattern of public trust issues emerges in Shasta Lake. Records obtained by the Shasta County Watchdog and a chamber whistleblower reveal a troubling sequence of actions by Shasta Lake leadership to resist public oversight. The documents spotlight mounting concerns about Janice Powell's unprecedented dual authority as both mayor and Chamber of Commerce executive director. Records show the chamber, under Powell's direction, received substantial public benefits, including subsidized office space and annual grants. After the Shasta County Watchdog sued to obtain public records, the chamber hired an attorney to fight disclosing them. According to Councilman Watkins, in a recent radio interview, the council approved $6,000 in additional chamber funding at their treasurer's request, enough to cover an attorney retainer. Documents indicate council members were not informed these funds could support ongoing litigation against public records access. Powell's leadership decisions face heightened scrutiny given a recent probate court finding where a judge found her guilty of elder abuse and embezzlement, imposing stiff statutory penalties. Despite the city attorney's advice to wait until after the election, candidate Powell brought forward a vote to censure fellow candidate Councilman Watkins after ballots had been distributed, with Councilwoman Eisenbaugh, also a candidate, and Councilwoman Morgan joining her, an action that appears to raise concerns about election interference. The town hall brief will continue in investigating this developing situation as additional information becomes available. In other local news, the Shasta County Elections Office is confronting dual challenges in election security and ballot processing. County Clerk and Registrar Tom Toller reported significant scanning issues with returned ballots, with up to 32% failing to register in tabulators due to compatibility problems between Runbeck printed ballots and Hart InterCivic systems. Three-person teams will now verify voter intent before processing duplicated ballots, prioritizing accuracy over speed. In response to recent attacks on drop boxes in Oregon and Washington, Toller announced enhanced security measures for Shasta County's 13 drop boxes. New protocols include improved training for ballot retrieval teams, strengthened chain of custody practices, and security cameras at staffed locations. Toller urges the public to report suspicious activity, advising immediate 911 calls if fire or smoke is observed at drop boxes. Meanwhile, a major scandal is unfolding at the Children's Legacy Center. The Reading-based charity dedicated to helping abused and sexually exploited children is embroiled in allegations of financial mismanagement and illegal activity. The charity, which received $11.1 million in public funds to help build a 22-county collaborative called The Pilot, was abruptly terminated mid-contract by the California Department of Social Services. The charity's annual report reveals a series of operational and financial failures, including cash flow challenges, false allegations of illegal activity, and the closure of one of its seven operating units due to a major assault on staff. Despite substantial funding, including $7 million from the Zog Fire settlement, the charity's highly paid executive staff dismissed these issues as unforeseen challenges. The Children's Legacy Center's ambitious plan to import hundreds of severely emotionally disabled youth from 25 rural counties to Shasta County faced strong opposition from local officials. They were concerned about the charity's lack of experience and risk management systems, citing previous incidents involving similar youth residents. CEO Kimberly Johnson blamed the failure on opposition from certain Board of Supervisor members and their supporters, alleging false accusations, inflammatory scrutiny, and disruptive behavior from politically affiliated groups. As the charity grapples with the fallout from these revelations, it remains to be seen how it will address the serious concerns raised about its financial management and ability to effectively serve the vulnerable children in its care. For more in-depth coverage and analysis of this developing story, visit the Mountaintop Times at mountaintoptimes.substack.com. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Wow.
That was a lot to unpack.
There's so much going on out there. Isn't this not just getting to the point of, crazy days indeed? And it makes me think of a quote by JFK. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that's kind of what we're talking about. Right now, we're in the middle of a peaceful revolution that's trying to be utilized as for, utilizing the system as a way to change things, and have the people in control as opposed to the government in control. And we'll see how it works out here on Tuesday, or at least the start of it. We've had, a lot of things going on in the county, in the state, in the city. California is just screwed up beyond belief. You know, you've got a virtual dictator down there in Sacramento, telling everybody what to do and what not to do. I do want to let everybody know the chat room is open. You can go to, Sovereign Minds, live chat, and that's at Fireside News. I think you can go to Fires Embrace.
No, it's / fires, F-I-R-E-S.
On Rumble.
On Rumble.
Rumble so, / fires?
Rumble.com/ fires, F-I-R-E-S.
All right. Yeah.
Otherwise, you can just look up Fireside News, and it's the one that has the green check mark verified next to it.
There you go. And there's a few people already there in the chat room. And I see a couple of things there. Thinking about starting a recall for the DA. Maybe upcoming shows can do 30 minutes on it. Absolutely. Let's get past the elections because there's so much there to unpack as well. And then you've got this, I want to get into this, one safe place thing with the, it seems like there's collusion going on in that one, with the Children Legacy. I haven't gone through all of that, but I think there's, where there's smoke, there's fire. When you start looking at the board of directors and all the people that got elected in the last election, and, you know, it's funny that, wow, they're all on the board of directors for the Children's Legacy, and that's where the money went from the fire directly from the district attorney over to, Children's Legacy, where she's on the board instead of going to the fire victims in their town. And so it's all starting to come out, and it's getting crazier and crazier by the day, it seems like. So
power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts completely. So it kind of gets me back to the whole idea. Did you know that in Taiwan, they don't use voting machines? They do same-day polling. They end up actually going through and closing the polls on election day. They know who is the person there, and they do hand counts. And yet, somehow, we in the United States have all of this amazing power. We have all of this amazing information that we can get out there, and we somehow trust that our institutions are going to be safe.
No, we actually don't trust them at all anymore. That's the real truth, and people are finally waking up to that. How everything that they've done with changing the voting, changing the rules, has been to ID being required is the stupidest thing ever. That's racist, really. So black people aren't smart enough to go get ID, right?
Well, according to the polls that were done on those college campuses, yeah. According to the polls,
to the polls of white women, left-leaning Marxists on the campuses, and maybe a few white guys, but they also did a poll on black people down in Harlem. They're like, "What? What are you talking about?"
Yeah, DMV is right over there.
Everybody's got ID. We have to have ID. We can't do anything without ID. So that just goes to show you how disingenuous, how dishonest these people are. And it's all about power. It's not about protecting anybody's right to vote. It's about them protecting their power over the vote so that they can cheat. It's really that simple. Joe Rogan said it the other day. He's tried to analyze it every way to Sunday to try to figure out why you would want to have a no ID situation. And the only thing that he can come up with, and I agree with him, is that so you can cheat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then over this last week, you had a couple of massive blunders from the left. You had Joe Biden came out and called all Trump supporters garbage.
I have a clip from JP on that. We got to listen to.
All right, I'll let you go to that one because I have a follow-up.
It's really good. And then I also want to encourage everybody to go watch the Joe Rogan interview, not only with Trump, but he did one with J.D. Vance that I thought was outstanding as well. And I watched it last night. I haven't got exactly every minute of it, but I got most of it, and I fell asleep, and then I tried to catch up in the morning on a little bit of it. But I think it really shows that J.D. Vance is a pretty much a sharp guy, but he's a regular guy. He's a common-sense guy. He's a no-BS guy. And so I think that came through more than anything on the interview. I highly encourage everybody to go watch that. I think it's great. But this is from Awaken with JP, and this is We Lie to You News. As usual, here we go, and we'll start out with the comedian that started the whole garbage thing in the first place. Let's listen to this. I don't even know his name.
There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Okay. I think that's funny.
Okay.
I hate that trashy place.
We couldn't be more outraged over these racist jokes made at a Trump rally. Good evening, and welcome to We Lie to You News, your most trusted source of lies on the internet. Tonight, we're bringing you a special report that will help you get more offended. A report on the Trump rally that took place at Madison Square Garden over the weekend, where comedian Tony Hinchcliffe was making vile jokes of a racist nature. Liberals are offended, conservatives are offended, and we now have proof that all Trump supporters are in fact Nazis, and Trump is genetically the exact same person as Hitler. But what are the implications on Trump's campaign from the comedian's jokes? What's Biden's response? What's Kamala's response? And what's Trump's response? We'll get to all that, but first, let's take a look at some of the most offensive jokes that'll have you mindlessly wanting to post a black square on your Instagram again.
And, used to be able to tell people to Google stuff. My mom's a boomer in the state of Ohio, and there's no convincing her of anything. She's eating the cats. She's eating the dogs. They're eating the pets up there.
Aside from eyewitness accounts, it's never been proven that those barbarians are eating pets. I think they're just eating children like a good Democratic voter is supposed to. Next clip.
Like me personally, I think football should be all year round. Yeah. So many great athletes. I don't know about you guys, but I think that Travis Kelce might be the next O.J. Simpson.
Oh. I'm not saying they were all good.
Nice to have Swift off the radar permanently. Now let's take a look at what I'm told is the most racist comment.
All right. Heck yeah. It's a cool black guy with a thing on his head. What the hell is that? A lampshade? Look at this guy. Oh my goodness. I'm just kidding. That's one of my buddies. He had a Halloween party last night. We had fun. We carved watermelons together. It was awesome. You guys are... This is a groany little morning crowd, huh?
Is that racist? I carve watermelons with my black friends all the time. Is that bad? Shame on Tony Hinchcliffe. I have to stress, this comedian is not making jokes. He is making racist activism statements. He's not crafting jokes out of racism. He's conveying racism. And I'm pretty sure that the words that Tony Hinchcliffe is saying are coming right out of Trump's mouth. And now, a word from our sponsor. Awaken CBD. If you're weak enough that you're offended by everything, life probably feels pretty stressful to you. And Awaken CBD can help you relax your system for a change. Or if you're strong enough that you actually take self-responsibility for things, you're probably interested in bringing balance to your body's natural systems, which can help you overcome physical challenges you may have, relax your mind, and be at your healthiest. Whether you're looking to optimize your health, get the best night's sleep possible, or bring relief to your fragile, easily offended mind, Awaken CBD is for you. Get it now by going to awakencbd.com, the number one enemy of the pharmaceutical company. Now back to the show.
Right.
The other side's got a lot of crazy endorsements. Swift, Eminem, Leo DiCaprio, Beyonce. Every day the Democratic Party looks more and more like a P. Diddy party.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay, that's what you guys want.
We probably shouldn't have shown that one.
Yeah, Hillary, I bet you did not see that one coming. By the way, if I commit suicide in 3 weeks, I didn't.
That's exactly what a suicidal person would say. Right, Hillary? Now let's take a deeper look at the joke that's causing the most controversy.
There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay. All right.
I'm outraged. Surely this warrants a response from the sitting president of the United States. And luckily, we woke him up to get his thoughts.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Well, that's pretty good. Trump supporters are garbage. If you thought a comedian making a joke about an island of 3.2 million people being garbage is in bad taste, then you certainly think that a president making a serious comment about 100 million Americans being garbage is in better taste. Biden's thought that 100 million Americans who are Trump supporters being garbage is so classy that it warrants a response from Trump. And luckily, a member of Trump's campaign interrupted him at a rally to inform him of Biden's comment. Here's what Trump had to say.
Remember Hillary? She said deplorable. And then she said irredeemable, right? But she said deplorable. That didn't work out. Garbage, I think, is worse, right?
How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Please forgive him. Another example of how unclassy President Trump is. Moving along. Given that Biden's comment about Trump supporters being garbage is likely a major boost of momentum to Kamala's campaign, let's hear what she had to say about Biden's words.
Do you sympathize with any voters who do feel offended by or insulted by the garbage comment?
I am running for president of the United States. I will be traveling to 3 states today.
As powerful as always. But also, Kamala, could you comment on what you'll do to help Americans who are struggling to put food on the table?
Well, let's start with this.
I come from the middle class, and I'll never forget where I come from.
Why discuss a plan that you don't have when you can make it about yourself? And because now is the time to vote for the next president of the United States, and according to Biden, half of you are garbage, let's bring it home with one more offensive statement by Tony Hinchcliffe.
Trump survived an assassination attempt, and Biden got COVID. We vote next week. God voted 3 months ago.
That's it for today's news. Who do you want to vote for? The candidate that God endorses or the candidate that the entire list of P. Diddy partygoers endorses?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, that was offensive, but we had to play it. I mean, the chat room's come alive there a little bit. Yeah, see the clips of Biden chewing on kids or whatever he was doing. I don't even know.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff that's out there on it. And the fact of the matter is, comedy is one of those few places to where you should be allowed to be offensive, because throughout history in comedy, it's the points where you can actually poke fun at your leaders. I mean, that goes all the way back to the originals. That goes back to the whole court jester. That was the only guy that it can end up saying crap about the king and making stuff up and being able to basically roast him from time to time.
And every once in a while, they would have to roast the jester.
Yeah.
Because he got a little too far out of hand. And when I say roast, I don't mean they cut him with jokes.
No, it was a little bit harder than that. But
a little more of a penalty back in those days.
Well, and that's the whole concept. I mean, comedy has always been about speaking truth to power. And it's funny to me that the left side right now that has issues with that just got endorsed by Cardi B, which claim to fame is a song that I can't even say the name for. It's W-A-P. No,
it's doublespeak. It's double. These guys, they don't have any genuine thoughts. It's just hive mind crap. You know, the real deal is most of them don't know up from down, right from left. Common sense from insanity. That's the problem. And whatever they say, you just have to assume they're lying about it anyway. And if they're not lying about it and they believe it, then they're dumber than a doorknob. So that's the problem. And most of this stuff is exactly that. You know, they accuse you of whatever they're doing. You know, I did a podcast last week, you know, accusations in a mirror. That's all that this is. And they try to say anything that happens, just point the finger at the other guy, you know. So it doesn't matter what they have to say at this point. We do want to go to a break. Let's go to a break. We'll play our first tune here. We've got a couple pretty good ones. Coming back, I want to play the whole thing on the tune number two, and then we'll go from there. It's a shortened day. I'm happy, and I don't care anymore. So let's go to a break here. KCNR 1460, 96.5.
In the land of freedom, a storm's brewing high. They're taking aim at a leader, but we won't let him die. Courtroom battles rage, but what I buy in their lies? This war on Trump and freedom, we'll face it and rise. Hands off America, don't let them seize control. The trials and tribulations won't tarnish our souls. Folks, look for freedom, let your voice be loud. We'll show them in November we stand proud and unbowed, and unbowed. They handed down their verdict, but our spirits made a show them how we feel. From Florida to Wisconsin, they cry it's a sham. But we're fighting for justice. Every woman, every man. Stand on America, don't let them seize control. The trials and tribulations won't tarnish our souls.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Maya.
So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world.
So in this
family,
video lesson, I want
friends,
to go over one of them.
And yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Is going woke. The streets are full of fire and smoke. This ain't the way I thought it would be. The White House full of evil folks. Americans ain't free no more. They don't respect folks like you and me. The way we're treated ain't been fair. Fake news on every TV. 4 years we've been in this nightmare. Why they killed American dreams. We can't afford our lives here. Rent, food, and gasoline. Colors don't run, and I only warn you once. Buddy, don't tread on me. I won't forget the ones who died for our freedom, and I ain't gonna hand it back. No, no, no. If liberty and justice ain't enough to believe in, then get out of here and don't look back. Go, go, go. We love our home.
America is losing hope, divided by the way we vote. This ain't the way that this all should be. We're fighting over memes and jokes. They're burning flags that we hold close. They think that war's only overseas.
The way we're painted ain't been fair. So what, you don't know me? You got something to say? Well, I'm right here. Thank God for the freedom of speech. You like to claim, I don't care, cause I ain't gonna bend no knees.
These colors don't run, and I only warn you once. Buddy, don't tread on me. I won't forget the ones who died for our freedom, and I ain't gonna hand it back. No, no, yeah. No. If liberty and justice ain't enough to believe in, then get out of here.
Yep, that's Tom McDonald's new. It's pretty good. I kind of, you know, I don't like everything he does, and some of them we can't play because there's too much swearing. But
actually, most of his stuff though is clean, which I'll most give him
of
that.
The last one you missed was I couldn't play it.
Wow, 2 days ago it was posted. It's got 1,800,000.
Oh yes.
Yeah, well, that's because he's not popular, right?
And, yeah.
He's not mainstream because he's not.
Well, he's garbage. Independent, and his girlfriend, I'm not sure if it's girlfriend or wife, but Nova Rockefeller.
Yeah, I think they're just friends.
They're definitely girlfriend, but.
Well, I know. Girlfriend, I mean, boyfriend, but. I don't think they're married is all I'm saying.
Gotcha. But yeah, so she's the one that records all of his videos, and so he recently ended up getting a shout out on the presidential stage with Trump as well. Wow. So that was pretty cool, because he released a song called Miss Me, which I bet you can figure what that one was about.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
In more ways than one.
what a crazy year. It's like I say, I've been out for a couple of weeks after the tax season, just kind of trying to mellow out a little bit and sort of get a little perspective and get some catch some breath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got tomorrow or the day after tomorrow is the big vote. So we'll see what happens. You know, they're trying to make this seem like this election is really close. It's not close. I mean, Trump is way out in front on the polls, I believe. But you can't take that for granted. Everybody needs to show up. You need to bring 10 people with you if you can. Everybody needs to vote, and everybody needs to vote and get these rid of these scumbag deep staters that are just there to sucking the tit dry of America. So it's crazy, but we'll see how it goes. And then I anticipate the riots will start the day after, one way or the other.
Well, and so here to that end, I actually have a couple of reports on that. So brace for unrest. Democrats warn of violence if Donald Trump wins 2024 election. Surprise.
No, surprise, surprise. Those guys, they never do anything wrong. It's only J6ers, even though they locked up a bunch of people that didn't do anything wrong, and they didn't lock anybody up that, like, burnt things and attacked, federal buildings and stuff like that. That's because they were upset and because they're Democrats. That's allowed.
So this from the Populist Times. Various progressive groups are preparing for violence if former President Trump wins one of the world's most closely watched elections. I think there will be some violence. I think it will be workplace fights. I think there will be kids' birthday parties. I think there will be protests and they will turn violent, Mark Halpern told Tucker Carlson. The Wall Street Journal also reported that various leftist groups are bracing for unrest should Trump make a victorious comeback. It's going to be that bad if Trump wins. Groups of progressives all across the country have held physical and online meetings and taken other initiatives to prepare for Trump's potential in 2024 election victory, according to the Wall Street Journal. On one evening, more than 200 people joined a Zoom meeting titled Mass Training for Women's Safety Teams, hosted by Women's March veteran, who noted its timing amid escalating political violence. The journal reported, and some even planned to attend women's marches in Washington and other American cities on Saturday ahead of scheduled 2024 presidential elections. Others are in Boston filing abortion kits and setting to send them to women in red states, fearing Trump could impose a federal ban on abortion. We feel like we're doing something, said Aaron Gately, 47, a former anti-Trump protester. People Power United Florida-based progressive activist Lori Westwood Garcia has scheduled post-election seminars to assess the consequences of a Trump presidency should they enact Project 2025. I mean, it's just all BS. I mean, when you look at these things too, so 2025 isn't even a Trump bill. He's already came out against that multiple times and said that it's not part of his stuff.
It's all baloney. They're just trying to stir up their base. It's like the whole deal with abortions. It's like, if that's your main issue, you got some, problems. Okay, who we got? Siskiyou Steve. No worries. You're on the line, Steve. What do you got?
Oh, I got a lot. It's unbelievable, the power of God. And nobody wants to talk about it, but I'm going to bring it up because that's where it's at.
You have the floor.
Trump is a person of unbelievable belief in the power of positive thinking. Now, whether you want to call that God or whatever, but Trump does not falter at all. He stays positive, marches forward through everything, and we've all witnessed it. In George Washington's faltering of what he had to go through in winning the Valley Forge and bringing peace to our country and bringing the colonies into our freedom, that was divinely inspired. And we are now at that point now today in the same regard, exactly the same regard. We are there. And it takes every one of us to go to their God consciousness, whoever that is for you, whatever it is, it's positive, positive, positive. There is no negative in the perfection of our world. And the negative that they put out that causes us all of our discord and our frustration and wanting to fight back is all about what they want. That's exactly what they want. But if we live in the power and the light of God and the perfection of our universe and who we are, then there is no problem. We just live in the light and the problem is dissolved because there's the truth is the truth. And that's what I've come to believe in 74 years of living on this earth. And I want to pass that on. Thank you very much. And Patrick Jones, you're one of our biggest heroes ever.
Very good, guys. All right. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate the call. Very good. Yeah, I still believe in fighting. I think that you got to fight the good fight, though.
That's the thing. This is our opportunity right now to go to the ballot boxes, even with all the crap that we know. But it's the same thing that happened in 2020. If you don't end up showing up, they don't even have to steal it.
I think Steve's right. You got to rely on God for guidance, and I think you got to have faith. But I also think that you also got to get out there and do something. You know, it's like the parable of the talents. You don't bury your talents. You get out there and you do something with your talent to make a difference. So, where are we at?
You know, I kind of wanted to talk about where we're at in the country as far as the amount and level of pandering. So I was kind of talking about the Cardi B with her WAP song and the rest of it. And then you had Eminem.
I can't stand that woman. And then they're all, I guess it's all P. Diddy guys now, huh? Is that where we're going? They're all kind of P. Diddy kind of guys, whatever that means. I'm not even sure.
So you had Eminem,
which he
has openly in his songs talked about killing homosexuals. He's openly talked about killing his pregnant wife and all the rest of these things in his songs. Most graphic detailed stuff that you possibly can.
Doesn't it?
Kind of seems like it, these are the people that are endorsing it. And there was a quote that kind of ended up catching my mind on it. Said, "I voted for Trump because I want a better future for my children. You voted for Kamala because you wanted to kill yours." That kind of seemed like it stuck.
It's kind of that way when you think about it. You know, they talk about children and safety and safe places and all this stuff, but I think it's disingenuous because they can't explain their position on, you know, the selfishness of their own bodies and not making any definition or definitive spot where they become a child, and before they're, it's okay, and then after it's not. I don't get it. So, anyway.
Well, and so right here I've got some stuff from the Telegraph. It set off to Tapia, Mexican city located south and near the border with Guatemala. They said they know the border will be too secure under Trump's leadership. The migrants have set off with the intention of getting to the U.S. border before November 5th in an attempt to have their asylum claims processed before Trump is potentially inaugurated in January. The additional convoy set off on November 5th to send a message so Biden and Kamala Harris know we're heading their way. The former president vowed to secure the border and conduct mass deportations while promising the death penalty for migrants who kill a U.S. citizen. Trump's deterrent appears to be working even now. We're waiting for the asylum appointment, but when the elections, all being applications are closed and we're running out of time, the applications are being paused or canceled, but the border will be open, said one woman. If Donald Trump gets in office again, it'll be much tougher, she added.
I think he's going to wise up this time. We got hope that I'll tell you what, he's got to get in there right away, in my opinion, and fire everybody in sight, you know, all... You know, take away the security clearances from the 51 intel agents, started all the top heads, whether it's Secret Service, FBI, CIA. These people need to be cleaned out. They need to clean out their desks. And then, in my opinion, they need to be prosecuted, not just fired. So prosecuted for treason. Look at the 51 intel agents that election interference, where they said that the laptop wasn't real and they said it was Russian disinformation. That was against the sitting president.
Yeah, well, and you look at how they ended up getting some of those calls and some of the information to make up the Steele dossier, and that was from a CIA operative that illegally ended up going about it with English services over there to be able to come up with documents.
Well, the whole thing was a big lie. It was all proven to be a lie, and it was also proven. I mean, you get these idiots. Oh, you're an election denier. No, what we are is we don't believe in cheating. We believe in having fair and honest elections, and that process should be protected.
Transparency. That's all.
It should be protected, not figured out a way to cause cheating to happen. And the fact that. And that's just one thing, is the laptop. They've shown that the vote would have changed enough so that Trump would have been reelected over just the laptop. That's not counting the ballot stuffing. It's not counting anything else. You know, the Dominion machines, new 2,000 mules, you know, the Arizona, all of a sudden they don't work in, the machines don't work in the conservative areas. I mean, you could go on and on and on. And because the judges don't hear them, oh, you didn't win anything. Yeah, we kind of did win a couple of them, and they're starting to win more of them because, you know, what's happening is that it's just a lie after lie after lie.
Well, and that was the thing. They said, Trump lost all these cases. No, there was almost 60 cases that never ended up getting heard because they supposedly didn't have standing. Right. So the states didn't have standing. The people didn't have standing. The citizens didn't have standing. The representatives that were there
examined any of the evidence. The election should have never been certified. What was the whole thing on J6? They drummed that up into a thing where they didn't certify, you know, so they could certify the election. It should have never been examined. That's what, I mean, it should have been examined. It should have never been certified because that's what the J6 thing did. They drummed that up into a frenzy so that they could use that as an excuse to not have any of the opposition on the floor of Congress give any of the evidence to show that this was an unsecure election.
And it was the QAnon stuff. I mean, you look at what was going on during that time frame, and I was one of the ones that was actively saying, you know, we've got an organization that's saying trust the plan, but we don't know where a plan is
at. There is no plan. It was just trust. Their plan that wasn't existing.
Well, exactly. And then they use that to basically paint all the QAnon people with January 6th that now we know was basically an inside job from the first thing that was overseen by the same FBI dude that ended up handling the Governor Gretchen Whitmer scandal.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I do want to go to a break if we can. I want to play this this next song. I got a couple pretty good songs here that I wanted to get out, and I'm not sure. We've got some strange woman in there with different hair. I mean, who is that?
Hello, this is your Ukrainian friend.
really? You look so different.
You know, it's kind of like a Ukrainian habit to change your looks usually. So since you know me already for 2 years, I usually change how I look. You know. So I'm sorry for scaring you here.
You scared me.
No, I apologize.
But I do admit you look great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead and play this Donald Trump America First rap song. I think it's High Res that does this. And it's actually really pretty good. Go ahead. Are we there? Yeah. Go ahead. Let's go to a break. You're listening to Sovereign Minds, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. And... I'm not hearing anything. I'm not sure what's up.
Well, while we end up doing that, I've got a Chinese student accused of illegally voting has been charged with two crimes, but his vote will still count in the swing state's final tally. The 19-year-old student at the University of Michigan, who has not been named, is not a U.S. citizen, meaning he's ineligible to vote. However, on Sunday, October 27th, the student registered his residency using his student identification.
I'll do it from here.
Signed a document declaring himself a U.S. citizen and cast his vote. The story here is just how easy it is to illegally vote. Although he later contacted the local clerk to receive his ballot back, the student's vote will still count due to the state laws designated to protect anonymity, making it impossible to identify which ballot was his. Local media reports and Ann Arbor City Council members were made aware of the potential voter fraud in Ann Arbor after involving a UM student who was a green card holder. Through a series of actions, the student apparently was able to register, receive a ballot, and cast a vote, and it will still be counted. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, it is where we're at. But anyway, I think we got the technical difficulty worked out here, so I'm going to go ahead and play this, and here we go.
I got love for every nation. I got love for all races. I got love for all religions. Got love for so many places. No love for a politician, a congressman, or a senator. If the country that they put in first ain't the United States of America. No love for these politicians with corporate interests in other countries. Only one that I serve is God. I don't serve man. I don't serve money. No love for the people living in the USA, but always hating it. Got a lot I probably shouldn't say to y'all. Matter of fact, I'll just pray on it. I'm pro-life, pro-God, pro-gun. Not ashamed of it. Yo, worshiping bullets, yo, killing babies, mutilating children, yelling Satanists. Supporting the troops in the tour doesn't mean that you're supporting the war. Supporting the freedoms that they're fighting for doesn't mean that you're supporting the war. Supporting the country I live in and oven. It doesn't mean bounty supporting the government. The world that we live in is trouble. They turn up the media, we should defund it. Supporting America for other nations does not make me a racist. If you like communism so much, I'll pay for your vacation. America first, America first, the people are hurt. Convinced in the street with nothing to eat and nowhere to work. Sending our dollars overseas and funding these wars.
no love for these politicians if they're not America first. America first. This country's protect their borders. It's not a controversial subject. I say close the southern border. It seems to get people upset. I don't care what names you call me. We have $40 trillion of debt. Uncle Sam takes half your money, then you get a little refund check. I am America first. Kamala cares a better purse. I never sell out the people to raise my net worth. The Second Amendment is there to always protect my first. I'm a better rapper than Meg Thee Stallion, and I don't even have to curse. Let's keep the American dream alive and put an end to all the lies. BLM raised billions, and what did they do for black lives? Politicians promise you the whole world, then they backslide. What happened to Hunter's laptop? You know I'm most strapped up. Gun rights are human rights. Feminists have been sold a lie. You can mess around and find out. Play stupid games with a stupid prize. God bless the whole USA. Even the ones who hate me. Still fighting for you today. And no globalist paid me. America first, America first. The people are hurt. Convinced in the street with nothing to eat and nowhere to work. Sending our dollars overseas in front of these wars. No love for these politicians if they're not America first. America first.
There we go.
Well, and it's interesting seeing how many of these independent artists are end up making a rise throughout all the ranks of this and how many are being screwed with. So you take, for instance, Tom McDonald. He has been able to break out on the charts even though they've unfairly screwed with him at every opportunity. So, like, for instance, they didn't count his physical copies that were sold on a couple of his recent albums to try to steal the number one spot from, because he was number one in not just the first song, the second song, the third song, but the top five songs he was in the number one.
Wow.
And so they basically changed the rules on him because he wasn't under a label to say, oh, well, since you're not under a label, we only count this and we can't count all the rest of these that you ended up selling and all the other things.
Well, that's why Tom McDonald split off from him and went on his own, because they, you know, they're doing whatever they can. They don't... You know, it wasn't about his how good his music was or his rap or whatever, which I'm not a big fan of rap to begin with. But, you know, the message is there, and it's been there all along. And so he had to go out on his own, because that's really what's going on is that – and I'll tell you what it tells you is that the huge corporations' interests, the bankers, I think it goes to, the government officials, media, this has to be a very powerful – thing to fight because of all the influences from these places. And where do they get all their money? Where's all the money coming from? Who's paying for all this stuff? You know, I got to go back to the counterfeiting that's being done by the Fed and the banking industries, because, oh, well, they're not counterfeiting. Yeah, well, where do you get $30 trillion if you're not printing it out of thin air or actually making digits and supplying all of the people that you want to control with funds to do the bidding of the global elite? And that's what we're talking about.
Well, and the other big portion of it, too, that I think is really important for people to keep in mind during this time when you're voting is that the guy that's right behind Kamala is a known person that was beloved by the Communist Party.
Well, that's coming out more and more. I'm seeing more information that he's connected very well to the Chinese. Not only did he visit there a bunch of times, the guy that was supposed to be at Tiananmen Square during that, which he wasn't, but evidently it's coming out. He has really very close ties. I haven't seen all the information, so I don't want to make a call, but evidently, you know, more and more is coming out, because I'll tell you what, does anybody listen to the mainstream news anymore, except maybe to get the weather, and that's wrong half the time?
Well, on the irony, I've got one here from the India Times about a story that I was able to track down, but ahead of the critical U.S. presidential elections, new details have emerged of a stormy 1989 love affair between Tim Walz and the future Democratic vice president nominee in Jana Wong. Wong is the daughter of a Chinese Communist Party official. Wong, 59, told the New York Post that her passionate relationship with the now Minnesota governor was turbulent and that ultimately led her devastated and suicidal. She admitted that she had fallen head over heels for Tim Walz when she was a young high school English instructor in Fujian Province in China. Jana expected the passionate love affair to end in a proposal, but instead it resulted in a breakup that made her consider taking her own life. The report said Jana Wong told the Daily Mail the VP hopefuls showered her with gifts, seduced her at the Pokey Staff Accommodation No. 1 High School in Fujian Province, and the report said Jana's shame of being treated like a prostitute eventually left Wong feeling angry and suicidal. Tim was very passionate, very romantic. I can still remember him dancing with him in the favorite song, Careless Whisper, she told the Daily Mail in an exclusive interview.
That almost made me throw up in my mouth. Careless whisper. Oh, my God. So what? Where are you getting that from? Is that the Daily Mail? Is that what that is?
So the Daily Mail reported it. New York Post reported it. But pieces of it all came out basically on Fridays when everybody's not paying attention to the news. And so her father is a pretty big hotshot as far as the Communist Party goes. She basically ends up coming out and saying that, oh, no, he basically was lying to the American public about Tiananmen Square, but that he was lying about a bunch of other things.
Well, and it kind of goes to my point of getting alternative news sources. If you're listening to podcasts, you should be listening to Rogan. You should be listening to Dan Bongino, Tim Pool, Russell Brand, Jimmy Dore. And Jimmy Dore is kind of a left-leaning. But there's all these guys that are not being controlled by the mainstream media. There's a bunch more of them out there. Mountaintop Media, go to Mountaintop Media. We do podcasts. There's Chris Street's writing articles over there. You've also got Red, White, and Blue. You got State of Jefferson, Red, White, and Blueprint. But all I'm saying is that there are sources that are coming out, local, state, federal, world sources. And go to these alternative sources, because what you'll see is after a while you'll discover a pattern that they're saying exactly the opposite, and they back it up with evidence in most cases of what the mainstream is saying. And everybody's flooding the mainstream at this point. I mean, CNN is going to be non-existent here in another couple of years.
Well, and that's kind of the point that I was making about how cringy you had to be to get all these other things. So you got Fortnite, a children's video game.
Yeah, we're going
to
do a deal on that tomorrow.
And
podcast.
You had an entire map that got created in which Kamala took their guns. They took the guns of a game that has a video game.
I know, that's crazy. We're gonna do a podcast on that tomorrow. But anyway, I think we're at the end of the show here. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master. And we'll see you on the next one.
See y'all then. Never forget, don't co-parent with the government, and all gun control is racist. See y'all next week and tomorrow on the podcast.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.